Today is April 2nd, 1997, and I am Betty Meyer, a volunteer interviewer for the Germans from Russia Heritage Collection at North Dakota State University Libraries in Fargo. And it's a pleasure to visit with Pauline Munch Nielsen. And we are in Mesa, Arizona, and we are at her home at
New West Senior Housing.
Okay, New West Senior Housing. And also Chris Meyer is here, and he's going to be asking Pauline some questions. They're sort of follow-up questions from interview one. This happens to be interview two, or part two of the interview. And so we're going to start with some of the things that we thought of after interview one. So Chris?
Okay, Pauline, as we were discussing sometimes here last week, how many horses did your father have on the farm?
I don't exactly know, but it must have been about six or eight.
About six or eight horses, mm-hmm. And they were used primarily as beasts of burden to do some of the farm work.
Right.
Did you and your sisters have to go out and do any of the farm work with the horses?
I never did because of my leg being crippled. But my two sisters did. They had hard work, and my mother also.
Did you have any riding ponies on the farm?
Except those two old ones, Maud and Bill.
Was that the names, Maud and Bill, huh?
Yeah.
Remember any other horses' names?
No.
Now, the other things that we didn't discuss was what other kind of farm animals did you have on the farm?
We had pigs, chickens, ducks, turkeys, geese.
Do you have any sheep?
Oh, yes. We had lots of sheep at one time. They were all over the yard, and they kept that yard spick and span.
How about one of those other domestics that we used? How about a goat? Do you have a goat?
Not on the farm, but after they went to town to my grandmother's place, an artist, they got a goat because they were able to milk it.
Yes.
For their mm-hmm. milk.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, the earlier doctors sometimes prescribe goat milk for some
infants
and deficient health reasons of this type.
Right.
Did you have any dogs?
One dog. His name was Sporty, and he was the best dog. He would even be able to go out and get the cows to milk them. But we were living on that farm where that road was, mm-hmm. and he was a very, he'd make friends with everybody. And my mother thought that somebody picked him up one day.
Yeah.
He was gone.
Yeah. So he was used also as a watchdog and also as beast of burden to help with the gathering of the cows and herding cows and mm-hmm. this type of thing.
Sporty was a very good dog. His name was Sporty.
How about cats?
Yeah, we had cats, but they were never allowed in the house either. And they were animals that had to be in the barn.
And they were used primarily to control rodents and,
right.
And other things in the yard.
Yeah, mice and rats and what have you. I used to play with the cats all the time. Put my doll clothes on them and everything.
Now, did you and your sisters have to ever herd cows in the fall of the year, you know, when all of the
yes.
crops were harvested? Did you have to herd
yes.
your livestock where there are no fences? And
sometimes, yeah. A cow would get out and then some other cow would follow. Yeah.
You had that. And, And I think that's about all that I know of to ask about animals, unless you got some other exotic animals.
When Dad was out for the first time in the spring, he'd often bring home little rabbits that he found as he plowed. And one time I had a choice rabbit, and I fed him until he was matured. Mm-hmm. And my grandpa, Barrett, came and gave me a silver dollar for him, and he butchered him and ate him.
That was my other question. So what other wild animals do you remember were around the farm during your growing up times? So we know that we had the big jackrabbits.
Yeah.
And how about stinkkatze, skunks?
Stinkkatze? Yeah, die hat mir geschmackt. Aber we didn't have one.
You didn't have any around there to pester
you? Yeah, I think once in a while there was the odor of skunks.
Did you have a farmyard pond?
Yes, a nice pond. It was almost like a little lake that would fill up whenever we had rain. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You have any ducks in the wintertime? In the fall, the wild ducks, wild geese that would stop in for a drink?
There might have been, but I don't remember,
don't remember that.
Yeah. Because we used to have them go overhead.
Yeah. Now, do you have any recollections about coyotes?
Yes. When there was a coyote in the neighborhood, Dad would call other neighbors, and they'd go out and, I think, shoot it down.
In your younger days, do you ever remember seeing any deer?
No.
Deer were just Mm-mm. not around in those earlier days. Mm-hmm. We didn't have any up where I grew up either until I imagine maybe about 10 years old, you know, there at the beginning of the Depression, as I remember the first deer that I ever saw on Beaver Creek mm-hmm. up there.
But that was close to a river.
Yes.
That makes the difference.
Yeah, and deer were very, very scarce during those days. So, and that's all I have, Pauline, so I'll turn the mic over back to Betty.
Okay. Okay, we're going to follow the questions that are on part two, courtship, marriage, and relationships. And those that you want to answer, you answer, but if you don't feel you want to, that's fine too.
Okay.
What did your parents or your teachers tell you about marriage? Did they discuss anything like that?
My dad was the only one that never wanted me to be married because of my crippled condition.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that was the only opinion that your mother didn't say anything then, huh?
No, mother mm-hmm. was the quiet one.
Did you learn anything from your parents' relationships?
Not too much, because love was not displayed before children.
Mm-hmm.
There was hardly ever any kissing done. So that was their own relationship.
Mm-hmm. So how did your marriage then differ from your parents' marriage?
It was more modern, I think.
There was more affection shown, wasn't there?
Yeah, right.
Were your parents or your grandparents' marriages arranged? And what's the word I want to use, Chris?
Kuplerei.
Kuplerei? No. No. Dad and mother went together for a while before they got married.
How did they meet?
Well, on the farm, you see, she was only 5 miles to Artis.
Oh, okay.
And I think it could have been in church or just gatherings of groups in the
community
area.
Here, huh?
Yeah.
What were some of the most important traits or virtues that you learned from your parent? Or parents, I should say.
Well, offhand, I don't know.
Patience?
Oh, I have here. No, because I didn't have a family to begin with. And hard work.
Honesty.
And many responsibilities.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I suspect you also learned what caring meant for others.
Oh, yes.
Because you were cared for by
very
your parents.
Much so.
And I see you as being a concerned person, too. Were husbands and wives equal in authority and rights in making decisions? And think back on your mom and your dad.
My dad did most of the deciding as to what to do. Mother just went along with him. She knew what he wanted to do. But there was one time that he bought a John Deere tractor. And Mother was so afraid. At that time, some of them got killed on the fields. You know, these tractors would tip over,
mm-hmm.
and they'd find them gone.
Mm-hmm.
And so she cried for days, because she was so afraid that Dad would be killed.
Hmm.
That was her concern.
How about the difference between inside and outside decision making, like your mother making decisions inside the house,
mm-hmm.
what was to be done there, and did your dad do the outside decision making then?
Yeah. But you see, we were considered a poor family. We didn't have all these beautiful things that they have now. We were very common. And there was not very many decisions to be made in the house. There were no electric appliances,
mm-hmm.
nothing like
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm. Were you able to express your feelings when you were growing up, like anger, sadness, fear?
I don't think so. I think we kept that mostly to ourselves.
How about criticism?
Well, criticism is good sometimes,
mm-hmm.
if it's taken the right way.
Mm-hmm. But you didn't do it as a child then?
No.
Mm-mm. How were children disciplined?
Well, my dad would just look at me and I knew what it meant. I didn't have to have one word from him. But when it got to be serious enough, he would talk up. And with looking his features and saying what he did, that was my discipline. And sometimes, even if in my crippled condition, he would spank me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How about mom? Your mother, did she discipline you?
Yes. That was a little bit different, though. That was more or less just patting you on the head or giving you a little lecture.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Were there any changes from your grandparents' generation to... Did you know your grandparents? Were they in the home? In your home?
No, my dad's were already gone.
Okay.
His father died in 1910 and I was born in 1911.
Mm-hmm.
So I never knew him. And of course, his mother had been gone quite a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But my mother's mother, I knew her very well because mother was sick and had to have surgery. And they put me with her, and I stayed with her sometimes months.
Mm-hmm. So did you see a difference between your grandmother and your mother then in handling problems or in affection or?
Yes. There wasn't any affection seen in the grandparents either.
There wasn't, huh?
No. That was her second husband. Her first husband had died in Russia.
Mm-hmm.
That was my mother's father.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know anything about him. But there was never any affection shown.
How about disagreements in the family? How were they settled?
Mostly by talking it over.
Mm-hmm.
Never to the point where they'd say, we're going to get divorced. That was not mentioned at all, mm-hmm. and it was not even considered.
Did they ever go outside of the family for advice or help?
No, not to my idea.
Mm-hmm. Were any of the older people consulted in settling some of the problems?
I would say they'd often go to the minister and ask him what would be the advisable thing to do.
How about farming practices? Did they go to any of the neighbors or anything? Do you remember your dad ever talking things over?
I imagine they did, because we were kind of related to a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd find out, well, how do you do this or how do you do that? They might have seen a good crop. Well, what did you do for it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I remember one time, Dad was out in the field harvesting, and a thunderstorm came up. So when it got close enough, he sat down by the haystack or whatever you call it. And before his eyes, that grain was just beautiful and thick and very, I mean, lots of grain in it. And he saw it all go down. Well, he couldn't accept it for a while. And he mentioned that in church, because other farmers had kept their crop. We were wiped out.
Mm-hmm. It was due to hail?
Yes, there was hail in that thunderstorm, yeah. And everything was knocked to the ground. Couldn't get anything out of it, even the seed.
We've seen that.
Yeah.
Yes. So he used his church and neighbors then in sort of
sympathized, yeah, and prayed for him.
How were grown-up children treated when they had conflicting religion or marriage decisions? You maybe didn't have that happen in your family, did
yes,
you?
Yes, very you? Sternly reprimanded.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they'd go out with the boys and the family did not agree.
Were they cut off from the family then? Or were they?
One time I remember my sister was temporarily.
Mm-hmm.
Grounded, huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now you said that your grandmother was part of your family on your mother's side. Did she live with you at any time?
She could not live alone anymore after my grandpa, Barrett, had died. So Mother and Dad moved to Ardis with her. And I think they were down there about 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as she died, they, of course, had to relinquish ownership.
So they took care of her, though, until she
died?
Oh,
yes. In fact, they were there when she passed away, and right in the home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did Did your parents have other friends?
Oh, yeah.
Outside of the relationship? And
Dad was the kind that could talk to anybody and just go on from one subject to the other. Mm-hmm. Mother was an introvert. Mm-hmm. She wouldn't open up unless she knew the person.
But she did have friends, though. Huh?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Maybe not as many.
No.
As your dad did. How did your grandparents and your parents view relationships? Did they ever say anything about, is it Fritzsche? You say it for Chris.
Freundschaft. Yeah, everybody's got Freundschaft.
Yeah, Freundschaft, that's right. Yeah, we all have that.
Were you close to aunts and uncles and cousins?
Oh, yes, very close. We had so many aunts and uncles, it wasn't even funny. Because you see, my munch grandpa married 3 times, and he had had so many of them from his first wife. Then he married the second wife, and she had children that she brought into the family, and they had 3 together. Mm-hmm. Then he married the third wife. Now, he didn't have any more children from her, but her children would marry his brothers and sisters. So that's the entanglement that my family cannot get through there.
It is an entanglement, but it's possible to sit down and figure it out, I'm sure.
Well, I told my dad one time, I said, you've got to sit down and start with the very first one. I wish I still had that paper. And he did, and from then on, I was straight.
Mm-hmm. If you or someone from your extended family moved away to another state, was it important to keep in touch?
Oh, yes.
It was.
Mm-hmm. And it was mostly by just one visit a year. My aunt, Sophia Mabius, she married into the Mabius family, which was his third wife's family. Mm-hmm. And they moved to Meadow, South Dakota. And that was a Indian it wasn't a reservation, but at least there were a lot of Indians around.
It was a community anyway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we'd go over there at least once, if not twice, a year to see them.
Mm-hmm. And did they come to see you then too?
Not too often. Not too often. Mm-hmm.
Who made the money decisions in your family?
Mostly
in the
Dad.
Family, I should say.
Yeah, yeah. Mostly Dad. Okay. Mother would always go along.
And was that true in your own family, too, between you and your husband?
I made most of the decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I should maybe clarify here that Pauline was married to a Norwegian. And this interview also happens to be Norwegian, Swedish, and Danish. And so some of the cultural traits come out, because that would be true in my family, too. The mother, the female, always took care of the money matters in the family.
Well, he was not a figurehead. I was. Mm-hmm. I've always been.
You were a bookkeeper.
Yeah.
Right. Were there other ways of borrowing money other than from a bank?
Not to my knowledge. I don't think Dad did too much of that.
He managed on what his income.
Yeah, and the same thing with us, my husband and I. We wouldn't buy even a house without having the money.
Mm-hmm.
Or a car.
It was always cash.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. What were some of the most important religious teachings in your home?
You mean the doctrine of the church?
I suppose, did they, my next questions are going to be, did you find comfort in them? And were you frightened by them? Or were you encouraged or discouraged by them? So that would have been the teachings that you experienced within your family.
Yes, they were very, very good. I mean, like, we were raised infant baptism. But when I got to be older and knew the Bible, I was baptized immersion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because Jesus was.
Mm-hmm. So you followed those teachings within your family as well.
Within my own, yeah.
Were you able to question some of the religious teachings?
Of my folks?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. My dad and I, when I'd get home, we'd sometimes talk until 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning. And it was mostly on Bible questions, because he was a good student of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one time I said, what would you think in heaven if one of us would not be there? And he thought for a minute and he said, well, the tears are all going to be wiped away. And I think that God is not going to reveal that to me. So.
You remember that so clearly, don't you?
Yes.
Yes. How did your family get along with people that weren't German from Russia?
Fine, because that's what they were.
That's what everybody was around there.
Right.
Were there any other people like the German from Germany or Jewish people?
Now, Jewish people, yes. Because if you remember way back, every little town had a Jewish store,
mm-hmm.
a general merchandise, and also groceries. And Zealand had one. And my mother would go in there for shopping. So being that I was a sick child, the lady that was Jewish, she would always send home some candy or popcorn or peanuts or whatever she had and say, well, now this is for your Pauline. And I shall never forget that, because they were so good. And all of a sudden, of course, they were all...
They left, didn't they? Mm-hmm. How about Indians?
I was afraid of Indians because I heard them talk about Custer Battlefield and the fighting that went on.
Mm-hmm.
And we would have them, we didn't have them around us as neighbors, but they would come to the fairs, like at Eureka, and they would put on these dances,
mm-hmm.
and they'd slaughter a cow or a calf or whatever. And to me, I'd sit on my mother's lap because I was afraid of them.
Mm-hmm.
And to this day, I have a little fear there, which I should not have.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't help it. It's that childhood expression.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Were you ever afraid to say that you were German?
No. Huh. Now, I'm going to ask you, does my speech reveal that I am German?
I cannot detect it. No.
My two sisters, Minnie and Emma, they had very much of that brogue or whatever they call it.
Did they not stay in the community, though?
Your yes.
Emma, I know, did in Napoleon. And
right, and Minnie in Wishick.
Uh-huh, and that makes a difference.
Yeah, and being that they were not used to carrying on a conversation mm-hmm. in English, they would always go to the German language.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
And you didn't? when you were in Bismarck.
No,
I'm sure.
Because I left home when I was 17 mm-hmm. to go to Bismarck. Mm-hmm. And so it stayed with them in a lot of places they couldn't pronounce what they wanted to say. Mm-hmm.
Which goes on to my next question. Have you ever felt have you felt comfortable expressing your German-Russian background, even in the times of World War I and II?
There we had to be careful, but you see, in the 1918, I was only 7 years old. And that made a difference. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, when I first went to school, we were not allowed to talk German. And I didn't know English. Mm-hmm. So even if my teacher, she was German, but she wasn't able to talk to me in German. That was forbidden. Mm-hmm. So I had to learn, and learn mm-hmm. quickly.
Yeah, so those who wanted to learn English did have the opportunity in school to learn English. But I wonder about those that were not going to school, like your mother and your father. And
that's why. Mother had never learned the English language. That's just what she picked up from us kids. Mm-hmm. And so she was more comfortable with German. Mm-hmm. Now, Dad could talk a little bit more in the English language. He was more favorable with it mm-hmm. and more relaxed in it than Mother ever was.
So when you, excuse me.
Did your father go to any schools here in the States?
Well, of course, he was only 3 years old when he came over from Russia. But I don't remember anything about his schooling days. He must have went to school.
Yeah.
But to see that again would have been German. Not English.
So he, when he read the Bible, he read that in German.
Always.
So he had to learn it from somewhere.
Yeah. Well, he would talk to people when they were, to help him
mm-hmm.
explain himself. Mm-hmm. Now, the way he used to be a manager of an elevator in Zealand, and he would just write out the word according to his way of pronouncing it. Mm-hmm. And he got along okay. Mm-hmm.
Because most of the other people were German and they understood
sure.
it.
They mm-hmm. understood. And when a wagon grain came in, he was able to talk to the man that handled it. Everybody was German.
What do you think about the survival of the German language in our German-Russian community? Do you think it's possible for the next generation to continue to learn?
No, because even my other the next generation to me didn't pick it up. They can't speak it. They can't write it. They can't talk it anymore. Because they've been so involved with the English language now mm-hmm. that there is no need for them to speak German. Now, we were together on Sunday and nobody spoke German.
Your nieces and nephews don't
no.
speak German at all, do they?
Mm-mm. They've forgotten what they did know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you speak to them ever in German? Just to,
not
to
really.
teach them a nice word or something.
I should have on Sunday. Yeah, Easter Sunday.
Yeah. How available were your educational opportunities? Now, I know you had unusual opportunities by going to Bismarck and going to the business college, but for your sisters now that were behind, did they have any chance to go on to school?
No, because you see, next would be Ashley.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, they did not have transportation for those that wanted to go to high school. and there was no high school given at Sealand.
Mm.
So my oldest sister only went to fifth grade.
And your other sister?
And my other sister graduated from eighth grade.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that's all she had.
Yeah. So there weren't many opportunities there then?
No, because it was too far, to drive.
Yeah. If they'd gotten more education, do you think their lives would have been different than they were?
I don't know. I really don't know.
I know yours was different.
Oh, yeah. But theirs, you see, they were in that community, and that's where they grew up, and that's where they married, and some of them even lived with their parents until they could afford it or find a place mm-hmm. of their own. That's what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And in my case, it was altogether different.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to switch subjects now. We're going to go on to politics.
Oh, yeah.
Were your parents interested in politics?
Dad was. But Mother just took what Dad said.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think they were interested in prohibition and in having women's right to vote.
Mm-hmm.
I remember Mother going for voting.
So did they go to any of those political rallies?
I don't recall of anybody even having one mm-hmm. in our neighborhood.
Did you frequently vote?
I voted from the time I was of age.
Uh-huh. So you remember your first time that you went to vote?
Not exactly, huh? Mm-mm.
Don't remember who you voted for president?
No.
Was there a president your parents felt strongly about?
I think there was, but I've been trying to think of who that is or who it was. I don't recall.
But it was discussed in the home, though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever there was an election for president, they would discuss it between themselves, and then, of course, we'd hear.
If you had to categorize your parents, what political party would you say that they belonged to?
Republican.
Mm-hmm. And were you ever involved in certain political issues?
Not outright, but, of course, I'd be careful. My husband mm-hmm. was one that would study the whole voting procedure and the issues and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd kind of go along with him.
I'm not, this question hasn't been asked before, but I'm going to ask it of you, and if you want to answer it. When you worked in the state capitol, was there any political feelings or any political reason why you didn't discuss political issues?
Yes, because I was there for 13 years in the capital of North Dakota. And during that time, we had different sides, different
political groups.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to be very cautious.
Mm-hmm.
But I always made it some way, somehow.
Mm-hmm.
So I was in Berta Baker's office for a long time until I got married, and the highway department.
Mm-hmm. Well, that concludes our interview. Now, are there some things that you maybe want to add to some of this that you thought of? About the country or your community or your growing up years?
Well, I'm very happy that this is going on. I mean, they're picking up the old timers and having this information for everybody to mm-hmm. read or research, because there's a lot of researching going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. as to what family you belong to, who's related to you. And it was very interesting to me for a long time. But now I have to kind of back away from it because it gets to be too involved.
We have so many more generations, don't we, as we get older?
Oh, yes. We could add a whole bunch to all this.
Yes.
And I tried it at first, but now it's gotten out of hand.
Yeah. So we're going to leave that to the younger generations
yeah.
to keep all those records.
But I am very upset about the divorces. You know, we're almost half and half. And that to me is very heartbreaking at times. We've had it in our family, which I never thought would happen. But it did. Mm-hmm. And I think every family can vouch for that.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was growing up, there was no such a thing as divorce. If we'd ever hear of a family that wasn't living together and was going to get a divorce, we just didn't think mm-hmm. that they were very nice people.
What? How do you think it's going to affect our families, those divorces?
It'll affect it until we straighten out from generation to generation, because the generation that's in process now have too many parents that were not raised like we were, religiously especially, and morally as well. So I don't know what's going to happen. How? It's up to God to straighten it out, because we can't straighten it out.
The children are going to suffer for it, aren't they?
Yes.
Yeah. Thanks, Pauline.
You're
this
welcome.
Has been one of the very, very interesting interviews.
I'm glad I was able to before I get to the point where I can't do it anymore.
Well, you have a marvelous memory and all the details. And the growing up in North Dakota.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
I have a little devotional book that was my granddad's book from Russia. His name was Andrew Munch. He gave it to my dad, Christian Munch. And I have read it through cover to cover. It's about 3 inches by 5. And it's very dilapidated, you might say. Sort of like a leather cover on it. And it goes way back to 1716. Which I would like to present to the Historical Society at Fargo. So I'm giving it to Betty to do that for us. And then we may have a few more that we're going to add, like that shawl. Yes. So I'll give it to Betty right now, and she can present it to you later.
Thank you, Pauline. You're very generous. This will go to the North Dakota State University libraries, and it will go to the area of the German from Russia Heritage Center. We thank you very much.
This is the end of the interview, and we are on side A of this tape, and we are almost at the end, so the side B of this tape is going to be blank. And that all there is. Adios.